You're listening to Leading Up with Udemy. This podcast is your guide to developing your skills as an emerging or seasoned leader. I'm Alan Todd, your host and the Vice President of Leadership Development at Udemy. Together, we can work, lead, and live differently to create a better world. This week, for our final episode of Season 5, I'm speaking with Managing Director and Chief Learning Officer of Deloitte Leadership and Human Potential, Netta Schlichtman. I love Netta's passion for curiosity and how she fosters it at Deloitte across a massive global organization, and how they're using curiosity to fuel their generative AI ambitions.
AI is not going to do the imagination for us. People are inherently better at that than machines, and are connecting with and understanding the variable needs of other people and imagining creative solutions.
Netta has decades of experience in learning and development and has made it her priority to help each of Deloitte's employees develop the skills they need to grow professionally at work and be more well-rounded and fulfilled with life. In celebration of International Women's Day and Women's History Month, Netta is here with us today to dig in to how Deloitte is approaching the future of work and how aspiring leaders in any field can realize their full potential to get to the next level. Netta, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Alan. It's a thrill to be here with you, and I appreciate our conversations.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get started. Netta, you've been a pioneer in developing people for several decades. You've done a lot of super interesting things at unimaginable scale. So let's just talk first. How did you get into, what drew you to a career in learning and development?
I actually began my career as a school teacher. And yeah. I think that was just in my DNA to help people grow. And I sort of fell into adult learning, and I really found my space. And I really just wanted to make sure that whatever I was working on really leveraged my skill set and my passions. And when I can help people grow and develop and achieve their aspirations, it's a right fit. And that's how I fell into this.
Yeah, and you've done it at a scale that's kind of unimaginable. Is there a life lesson or philosophy on learning that you've developed if you look back over the successes, the challenges?
So the life lesson I've learned is put the learner at the center. And if you really can think about that one learner and how are they going to receive it, that will help you create an experience that is just very targeted and personalized. And then we could worry about scale and other things later.
Yeah. So you've mentioned the importance of human potential, and that's a big thing at Deloitte. It's something you spend a lot of time on. So can you talk about what is human potential to you and to Deloitte?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Before I get into the definition of human potential, I do want to talk about leaders for a second. You know, when we think about developing leaders, we have to develop the holistic leader. And traditionally, yes, it was focused on developing leaders that can inspire and bring vision forward and align to the organizational needs and market growth. But they also have to think about how they show up for their clients, for their teams, and also individually. And so when we think about human potential, we're thinking about how do we develop that holistic leader outside of the technical space. And so human potential capabilities are really universal and timeless. They're the innate and evolving things that help combine to develop the human-oriented professional.
Yeah, I like that. And I think a lot of people that we talk to on the podcast are people that have written very specific books or research or aspects of leadership development. And I would say so much of it is around soft skills and leadership skills and unlocking human potential. So can we talk a little bit about what some of those kind of human skills are that you all are focused on?
Yeah. What I'll share with you is we've done a lot of research. And we've looked at all the luminaries out there, and we've also been working with our integrated mental health organization within Deloitte. So this is really science and research based. And the agenda that we have for our professionals in the space of human potential really fall under several buckets. One, we're trying to ensure that we are enabling care for others, for themselves, and whatever situation. So care is an important element of human potential. The second area is how people adapt. How do they adapt in the face of a very dynamic market or technological changes? How do they adapt when they fail? And what do they learn and grow in that? Additionally, how do they instill trust? How do they instill trust in the relationships they're forming so that they can actively grow it and maintain it? The other element of the human potential is inspiration. And how can you inspire through your own personal authenticity, through your words, through your commitment to drive whatever vision that you're trying to drive? The other thing, we have a world that's really distracted. There's so many distractions in front of us, and we're getting hit with priorities left and right. So how can we maintain focus on what's really most important? And how do we stay present in what we're doing? And then a couple more things I'll share with you that we're really being intentional about, and that is inclusion and belonging. Because we do know that people that feel connected to an organization will be engaged and they will stay when they can be their true self. And then lastly, with things changing so fast and technology changing so fast, people need to continue to grow their skills. So this innate sense of curiosity to pursue understanding new perspectives so that they can innovate is really important. These are some of the 7 areas we've prioritized. Now, at the end of the day, there are also enduring human capabilities that we have focused on to ensure that our people can thrive in a technological change and uncertainty.
Yeah. So, wow, you just covered a whole lot of ground. And so let's see if we can unpack some of these. For example, I'd love to hear, you talked about trust. So we know in research that it's very difficult to build trust, that a majority of employees don't believe that their manager knows how to build trust. Like, it's a huge problem. I talked to somebody yesterday. They said they had huge layoffs, and they said we had a massive trust deficit because of that. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on why it's so hard to build trust. Why does it evaporate so fast? What do you do at Deloitte, or how do you think about it and teach people to build trust?
Well, trust has several facets. It's just not about your words. There's a lot of action packed into developing trust. One, you build trust with your leader and with each other when there's a demonstration of competence. Are you competent? Are you able to deliver what is needed? That helps to build trust. Another element of building trust is authenticity. Can you be your authentic, transparent self? And sometimes being transparent and authentic doesn't have a good story there, because you may have to give some tough messages. But if you're able to be authentic and be as transparent as you can on a consistent basis, it goes a long way to building trust. The other way that people formulate trust is, do they have my best interest in mind? And best interest is also about growth. It's about empathy, right? So there's a lot to unpack there. So when we think about trust, we have to really look at it from many facets, and there are spectrums. And the relationship piece of trust is also where, if you're demonstrating some of the things I just mentioned, you're going to have mishaps. You're not going to show up as your authentic self. There's going to be things you don't know from time, but that gives you that forgiveness.
Yeah. So what happens if you're early in your career and you don't even know what your authentic self is? Like, you haven't even discovered it yet. And so as I think about authenticity and transparency, as you described, and they're critical to building trust, is there anything, any advice you have or anything you all think about for the younger generations or early career? You know, some people are afraid to be authentic or afraid to speak up or afraid to be transparent because fear of looking stupid or embarrassment or so on.
Well, I think first, as an organization, you have to espouse to the value and the philosophy that people need to have a sense of belonging and inclusion. And so, one, at the cultural level, that has to be there. Now, as a young person coming in, if you have to really think about what your authentic self is, you're overthinking it, frankly. Just show up. Just show up. Make good judgments, but also ask for feedback. But authentic self is very innate, frankly. I don't think it's contrived. And so, you know, for me, for example, my authentic self, God, I'm a straight shooter. Some people are going to love it and some people are not. But that's my authentic self and I have to stay true to that. I'm a woman from the Middle East. I'm not going to hide that. That's my authentic self and I'm going to be proud of who I am. And so just show up and it's really important to be part of an organization where you culturally fit.
Yeah, it's great sense. One topic that I know you love is curiosity. And I think that's kind of the fuel for learning and the fuel for innovation. But I'm wondering, how do you fuel curiosity while not taking your eye off the ball of executing whatever it is you have to do? In other words, how do you balance curiosity and driving forward with stability that you need from getting things done today?
Well, you know, at Deloitte, we talk about curiosity as a critical human capability for our professionals. And the way we define it is this desire and thirst for more information leading to an exploratory behavior towards gaining information. Now, in an ever-evolving technological world, a world of AI, curiosity is crucial. If you think about the World Economic Forum top skills, curiosity is the center of a lot of them. You got to be curious in order to be able to analyze a situation from different angles. Creative thinking, that requires creativity. That might be research. That might be, et cetera. I can go on and every single top skill that was identified has curiosity at the center of it. So what we do know is technology will change around us. It is our insatiable thirst for knowledge and gaining information that is going to help us thrive.
So how do you nurture curiosity?
Yeah, some of our best programs really do nurture curiosity. And the way we do that is really through experiential learning. This is not about the person that's in the front of the class imparting knowledge on you where you just absorb, but where it is a facilitated discussion that puts a problem at the center of the cohort that is assembling to learn and saying, pick this apart. How have you tried it, et cetera? So really taking a very Socratic approach to the learning drives curiosity. The other thing with curiosity is we have to put learning in the hands of the learners. So when we think about our learning approaches, not everything needs to be structured. So we have curation systems where they can just go type a question, an issue, and they can learn about it and self-absorb. That is demonstrating curiosity every day in learning. You know, when you're going on Google and researching something, you're being curious. When you're on YouTube and you're looking at recipes, you're being curious. We do this every day.
Right.
We just have to now make sure that at the workplace, in our conversations, that this is highlighted.
The buzz around Gen AI isn't going anywhere. Leaders and managers are key to identifying how their companies can use the technology and creating a plan to grow their employees' skills. Learn how Udemy can help at business.udemy.com/GenAI now. So we've covered curiosity. We talked about trust. So there's another area that I'm really interested. You said care for others, and it makes me think about a number of different things that we've seen from the research that managers aren't very good on average at caring for others. And Gallup studied what makes someone a manager, right? And the number one reason they get promoted to management is because they're good at whatever they did in their non-management role. And the number two reason is tenure. And so what they found in their research, and I could probably point to five other versions, is that managers aren't very good at that caring or the emotional intelligence and social intelligence. And I know that's an area that you all have focused on. So do you feel like you've cracked the code? And if so, how?
You know, I'm really actually very proud of the position that Deloitte has taken in this space. Caring for the individual, for their physical, emotional, financial elements that's important to them. We've had a well-being agenda for a long time at Deloitte. Another element of care is, you mentioned empathy, helping our leaders, but not just our leaders, peers, when you're talking to peers. What is that empathy that you demonstrate so the person feels safe, feels this is an environment that they can be accepted, show up at the authentic self? So that's at the heart of care as well.
Yeah, I think those are the areas where I think a lot of companies are struggling because they've promoted maybe the wrong people into management, or they haven't invested in developing those critical skills around emotional intelligence and social intelligence and empathy and caring.
Correct. You know, there's another element of care. When we look at our millennials and Gen Zs and the studies that we've done there, they really care about purpose. And are we feeding that need as an organization? And so do we provide them with opportunities to engage in their communities, in their areas of interest? So that's another way that we demonstrate care for them.
Yeah, there's pretty good research on Gen Z and millennial wanting meaningful work, and they want to work for a company that has a purpose beyond just making a profit. Can they do meaningful work that's greater than the self? So can you talk a little bit about how Deloitte, how you all are a purpose-driven organization with purpose-driven leaders, and how that purpose manifests in a way that excites and inspires meaningful work for your early career people?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I think it's important to note the magnitude of millennials, Gen Zs that we work with at Deloitte. To give you some context, 75% of our US professionals are millennials and Gen Zs. So when we are doing anything at Deloitte, you better believe we really pay attention to the needs, expectations of this generation. But
yep.
What are we doing from a purpose agenda? We know that this generation that we're talking about make career decisions based on their values and want to be empowered to drive that change in their organizations. And so, one, they find it very helpful that the organization that they work in is really focused on the DEI space. And so one of our core agenda items within our purpose is equity, the outcome of diversity, inclusion, anti-bias actions, where all people have fair access, opportunity, resources, and power to thrive in our organization. The other thing that this generation really cares about is sustainability, climate. And so this is where we're driving positive change through, whether it's programs, policies, behaviors, et cetera. As part of our world climate commitment to reduce emissions, we're embedding sustainable operating practices throughout our organization, and not only helping our clients accelerate their low carbon transformation, but also catalyze ecosystems and innovation in a very proactive way. You already touched on this earlier in our conversation. The other thing that this generation cares about is trust.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we've talked about that in terms of the values and practices. And so we're also trying to make sure that we're embedding this into all of our ethical learnings and practices. Because that not only do we have to be trustworthy for each other, we have to be trustworthy for our clients as well. So those are some of the examples of the purpose pillars that Deloitte has to really address this generation.
Is there anything that you've learned about these early career generations, about how they learn? Do they learn different? Do they have different preferences? I know you guys have researched this and studied this, and so I'd love to hear what works or what your research has found.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a Gen Z millennial survey in 2023 where we garnered a lot of this insight from. And one of the things that these individuals want is flexibility. And so what does that mean? They want flexibility in how they learn. So really ensuring that our approach to learning is multifaceted. The days of, okay, we're going to develop a course and it's going to be live, it's gone. Now it's what I would call an omni-channel approach. So if there's something we want to develop for our learners, we're going to make it available in multiple ways, live, virtual, digital, so they can have the flexibility to really learn on their terms. And it's a way of further personalizing, because that's very important to them. But interestingly, through that survey, what we did learn is that they do enjoy that face-to-face interaction with their cohorts. So everybody thinks they're digital natives. And while that is true, what we learned through our research is they value on-the-job learning and mentorship as a critical component of learning. Then again, there are some that are time-starved. They want it in a different way. So the challenge for people that are sitting in the learning space is we have an audience that wants it in multiple ways. And so our work is sort of cut out for us that we have to deliver it such.
Yeah, they want it in every way. As you think about the early career people, do you have any advice on career success? What do the top performers do, or emerging superstars? What habits or practices or just anything that you sort of could think of that might be useful for our listeners to start to build some new habits or behaviors?
Yeah. One of the most critical things to build in terms of behaviors and habits early in your career is, we've talked about this, curiosity. Be really willing to learn, to ask, to seek guidance. That's really important. The other thing that I would say is resilience. And the way that Deloitte defines resilience is a willingness to persevere in the face of rapid change or challenges or circumstances, and really being able to figure out how to navigate through that. And so early in your career, really think about how you receive feedback. Feedback is a gift. And a lot of times people get feedback and they make it into something very catastrophic. Oh my gosh, I got this feedback. No, feedback is a gift. And through that feedback, learn what to do with it and persevere through that. And build a tough skin, because that's how you're going to grow. The other is get yourself out of your comfort zone. And by getting yourself continuously out of your comfort zone and being able to pivot rapidly, you become more agile to an organization. And agility is absolutely crucial in one's success, not just early in career, but throughout one's career. And I guess the last thing I would say is one can't just expect empathy. One has to give empathy. So think about how you speak from a place of empathy, how you listen from a place of empathy, and how you are inclusive from a place of empathy. That's also crucial.
Wow. That's powerful. So curiosity, resilience, persevering in the face of change, navigating through it. Get out of your comfort zone. I love that. So that you can become more agile, which makes you more valuable to the firm. And really kind of cool what you just said about give empathy, which I don't think we ever think of it that way. Like when we think about it, it's a two-way street. So being empathetic back, it made me think about how we've become more distracted as a society, and people don't listen as empathically as they used to because we're more distracted now and looking at phones and doing other things. And I think those are really bad habits that we have to all learn to break, which is that when we're speaking to someone, we don't just grab our phone and look at it.
And that's part of the focus that I was talking about earlier. Focus is about showing up and being there in the moment for that situation, for that individual. So spot on, Alan.
Yeah, these are just absolute pearls of wisdom, Netta.
Thank you.
Beautiful stuff. Okay, so let's talk about Gen AI. Everybody in the whole world is talking about it. You all are leaders in advising clients on this, and you've got to figure out how to develop people to not just upskill in AI and Gen AI to build the capability for the firm, but there's also the human side of AI. So mm-hmm. I'd like to hear just your whole take on where you're at in terms of how's the firm thinking about AI, and then maybe how are you thinking about it from a learning perspective?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. We are laser focused on the space of AI. And so through our Deloitte Tech Academy, we have individuals, and specifically going through our AI Academy programs, going through that in a rapid way. And every individual at Deloitte has access to AI learning. In fact, all of our leaders are required to go through some AI learning that's happening currently. Having said that, AI has raised a lot of questions. So, okay, is AI going to take over the world? And so one of the things that we need to consider is, if humans can use generative AI to complete tasks faster, easier, or better than they could before because the technology has certain skills, then we can start to think about tasks differently. But the key to the success is not technology replacing jobs, but rather, what are the tasks that are being replaced and what is the work that needs to be done by humans? And so the way we're thinking about it, humans in the age of generative AI, AI hinges on a renewed focus on humans. Now more than ever, we need to lean into our human skills in order to, one, advance the technology through our forward thinking, our adaptability, our curiosity. We also need to lean into developing responsibility. And so how do we use AI in a critical way and have a critical thinking? How do we use it in an inclusive way? How do we lean into our human skills in order to thrive amidst disruption through our resiliency, our agility, our motivation? And how do we, in an AI world, connect, adapt, and imagine? Because AI is not going to do the imagination for us. People are inherently better at that than machines, and are connecting with and understanding the variable needs of other people and imagining creative solutions. And lastly, you know, in the world of AI, how do we, again, continue to care for each other through the trust, through the emotional intelligence and empathy? AI is not going to replace that. We still need to connect as professionals, using AI as a tool to replace tasks and activity, not doing the critical thinking for us. So that's the way we're thinking about it.
So the humans are in control and AI is the tool, not the other way around.
Correct. The technology serves as a tool for human empowerment.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just as it's always meant to be. They said, never talk about the technology first. Talk about the business problem. Talk about what you're trying to solve. And so I think AI, again, has freaked out people because how rapidly it's expanding and everybody's talking about it.
Yep.
But we do have to kind of step back and think about the basics a little bit. Think about what we're trying to achieve, what we're trying to solve. How are we trying to help our clients? What am I trying to accomplish? And then how's this technology going to help me? And again, all of that human empowerment is centered around curiosity, asking some really fundamental questions at the beginning.
Netta, I think I'm going to wrap it right there, because that was a perfect ending and you brought it right back into curiosity. I love it. And so I want to ask my final question so that we ask everybody,
yeah.
What are you curious about and learning now?
Well, I'm a hands-on learner. So we have now unleashed a bunch of AI tools inside Deloitte to support us in our meeting management, in our project planning, in our work plans, all of that. So I'm just getting my hands dirty in that just to figure out how we can use that to drive efficiency. So that's what I'm most curious about right now.
Beautiful. All right, Netta, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Alan, for having me. And I hope that there are some nuggets that everybody can pull from.
Thanks again to Netta Schlichtman for joining us today on the podcast. Follow Leading Up, a podcast from Udemy Business, wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode to help you level up your leadership skills. Follow the show so you never miss a new episode. And if you like the show, leave a rating or a review. We love the feedback, and it really helps us to find new listeners. To learn more about Leading Up or how Udemy can help you develop leaders at scale and move business forward, visit business.udemy.com. The Leading Up podcast is produced in partnership with Pod People. Our original theme is by Soundboard.